Well, hey, good morning, manly men. It's time for our man podcast. I don't know what to call our man podcast yet. I suppose I should have had that figured out before I started. And we're into episode number two, Ken Pierpont's podcast for men is our working title. Help me if you can think of a better title than that. The first five episodes of the men's podcast are going through what does it mean to be a man. Maybe you remember that. Last time we talked about the first aspect of what it means to be a man. A man is a lord of the earth. And that came from Genesis in chapter 1, where mankind, humankind, was created. In verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock." And not to repeat that podcast, you want to go back, listen to that. If you haven't done that already, the first thing it means to be a man is that you have a dominion. You have a jurisdiction. God has given you a measure of dominion upon the earth. You're to take dominion over an area of the world that God has given you responsibility for. Yourself, your possessions, your responsibilities, the things that you do for your work are in the area of your dominion. But not to repeat that, you can go back and you can listen to that. But the basis of that is in Genesis chapter 1. You can see that throughout Scripture. You can see it in Psalm 8. But it brings us to the second aspect of godly masculinity. What does it mean to be a man? It means that you are a lord of the earth. You take dominion. You have a jurisdiction. Second, it means that you are a husbandman. You are a husbandman. You make things grow. You make life. What do you do within that dominion that's yours? You make that an atmosphere where life can flourish. Things grow. Where your hand is involved, things grow. I suppose this is one of the reasons why I love to read about gardening and farming. You know, even though I'm not a particularly good gardener or farmer, I grow grass out here on Bittersweet Farm. Grass, that is lawn grass out on Bittersweet Farm. And yet there's a spiritual sense in which we're called to make things grow. And why? Because the second chapter of Genesis gives us a hint about that. In verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it, or to work it and keep it. His first assignment was to grow things. So a man is a lord of the earth, and a man is a husbandman. He makes things grow. And so this is the way I've looked at my parenting. This is the way I've looked at my grandparenting, my being a husband, is that people that I have any influence over, I help them grow. I help them flourish spiritually, emotionally, physically. My job was in my jurisdiction is to make that jurisdiction, which belongs to God, and I'm a steward of it, to make that a place where good things happen, where things grow. If I go to a boys' baseball game, I'm the voice in the stands that's not badgering that child, but challenging and encouraging them and instructing them and getting them to the batting cages and saying an encouraging word. It's spiritual instruction. It's being creative in spiritual instruction, not just sitting them down and, you know, boring them to tears, badgering them with my convictions, but creatively making truth known to them so that they can flourish spiritually. And I suppose from childhood, when I would go to my grandpa's farm in Ohio, and be in the outdoors and the beauty of the outdoors and see him raising animals and growing crops, maybe that makes my heart tender about things like that. Maybe just my simple love for the outdoors. But I find myself reading Wendell Berry. I find myself reading books about the outdoors, about growing things. I suppose about farming. David Klein's books on farming and nature have always fascinated me. But I think maybe that's a part of it, because God gave us, and you know, a man came from the soil, and someone has said, because mankind, for men, were created from the soil, they have an affinity for the soil, for the outdoors. Maybe that's a good excuse for your shooting habits, or your hunting habits, or your golfing habits, or your fishing habits. Something about the outdoors that draws a man into the outdoors. But it's there that obviously he has times of rest and peace. And Jesus did that, his times of recreation. But he also has times when he produces things, where things grow. And so I recently read a part of a book by a new friend that I met. He gave me his book called Encouragement, Adrenaline for the Soul. His name is Mark Chansky, C-H-A-N-S-K-I. Good book. Reformation Heritage Books. Good book. Worthwhile. And he starts the book. The very opening illustration in the book is, you should get it and read it yourself to get the details, but a powerful story of a great football coach that encouraged a little-known football player that had had a really, really bad day, and the football player went on to become a great football player and help make the coach great and win great championships. All of you have heard of them. You can read the book to hear the story. The point was, the coach found the player with his head in his hands, discouraged, and he tousled his hair and said, "You're going to be a great football player one day." The man was contemplating quitting that day, but he continued. And because he continued, he did become a great football player. He was encouraged. The coach knew this. The coach had this instinct. The coach had the instinct that he needed a word of encouragement in order to emotionally flourish, in order to grow, in order to have life and health and flourishing. Would you think about that? Sometimes you think, well, how fast can I run? How much weight can I lift? What, you know, skills do I have? And perhaps you're like I am, and it just seems to you like, well, everybody else has greater skills than you have. But you do have the skills. God's given you the skills and the spiritual gifts and the placement, if you will, the proximity, in order to be an encouragement to the people that you need to encourage, or instruction, or in some cases, can be a correction. But God's given you the skills. He's given you the gifts. He's given you the proximity or the placement. He's put you in the place where you can help make life flourish. It's just in the way you talk to people, or the way that you interact with your loved ones. And so maybe you could practice that with your wife today, practice it with one of your children today, or somebody that comes across your path. And this, they need an encouraging word. They need a man in their life that's going to affirm them. They need a man in their life that's going to maybe gift them, support them, pay for some training, take them to breakfast, buy them a breakfast. And just for the purpose of listening, and then before you go, they go away for the day, give them an encouraging word. Tell them you believe in them. Wesley's probably listening to this. Our youngest son, Wesley, in our family, there are a lot of pastors. My dad's a pastor. Two of my brothers are pastors. A couple of my sons are pastors. One of my sons is not a pastor, trained to be a pastor. Daniel, who's a sound believer and cares about the things of the Lord. He's not a vocational pastor, but so there could easily be pressure to be a pastor in our family. And our youngest, Wes, who's a super hard worker, went off to college, didn't particularly like that, wanted to do the trades, ended up in plumbing and doing a great job in plumbing and having a great career in plumbing. But at the time, he wasn't sure. He was figuring that out. And I'm sure there was some thought, does Dad expect me to be a pastor? And so I heard about that, and I gave him a call. He was in Grand Rapids in college at the time. I lived in the Detroit area, and I called him on the phone, and I said, "Hey, he loves breakfast out." So I called him, and I said, "Wes, I want to buy a breakfast at Bob Evans on 28th Street. So I want you to meet me. You can bring your brother along, but I'm coming up there to talk to you. I got something really important to tell you." And he said, well, what is it? He was kind of concerned. I said, well, I should probably look you in the eye when I tell you this. I want you to hear what I'm going to say is really important, and I want you to remember it for a long time. He's like, all right, I'll meet you there. So I drove to Grand Rapids, and we got a round table and a hearty breakfast and some good black coffee, and we ate our breakfast. And then I said, he's like, well, Dad, why did you want to meet with me? What was it that you needed to tell me? And I said to him, Wes, here's what I wanted you to understand. I wanted to come all this way, and I wanted to buy you breakfast so that I could look you in the eye, and I could tell you, I don't care if you are a pastor. I do not care if you're a pastor. If you're never a pastor, I don't care at all. Here's what I care about. I want you to be an elder in the church. Now, the idea isn't really that he achieves an office in the church. It's not the point. The idea is that he takes his New Testament, he opens it up to 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, looks at the qualifications of an elder, which are just a description of a man of godly character, and that's his ambition. He's a plumber, he's a tradesman, whatever it is that he does in his life, but he tends to his spirit and to his character and to his relationship with God so that he has the influence to make life flourish in his dominion. And now I've visited him in his jurisdiction. I've seen the home that he's bought and the cars that he's bought and the stuff that they've accumulated and the work that he has to do and the little girls that God's given him and his little boy on the way and his wife. And he's a man with a growing influence over really important, valuable people. And he's taking his responsibilities, he's taking his opportunities, and he's making life flourish within that. That's the idea. What does it mean to be a man? Well, it has nothing to do with how fast you can run, how far you can run. What skills did you have? That has to do with when people are around you, do they flourish? Do things grow around you, or do they just die? That's what it means to be a man. Well, that's until next time. We'll talk about the third. A man is a lord of the earth, number one. Number two, a man is a husbandman, makes life flourish in his dominion, Genesis chapter 2. Next time we look at Genesis chapter 3, and in Genesis chapter 3, you might want to read ahead and try to guess ahead. What else does it mean to be a man? And Genesis 3 is going to make that really clear. Something super important. If you don't get this, then you can't succeed as a man, and you have no idea what it means to be a man. So I was talking to a guy the other day, and he quoted Jordan Peterson. It was interesting, and nothing wrong with that. We all read different people, different input, common grace, general truth that we read or that we hear. But he mentioned that, and my counsel to him, my encouragement to him was that for now, as you're trying to establish what you believe, and you're trying to establish how you're going to live, and what is it as a young man, what does it mean to be a man? There probably should be more of a minimum of input from quasi-Christian or secular philosophers or podcaster opinions and more attention given to those who are teaching about God directly from his word. In your mind, you should be thinking, where does it say that in the Bible? Where does the Bible teach that? Does the Bible teach that? Because as far as I'm concerned, the way it is people all have opinions, but you don't want to build your life on the opinions of men. They change, they're fallible, they're flawed. What you want to do is you want to build your life on the timeless truth of the Word of God revealed in the book, the Bible. And so, men, I would challenge you again, if you want to make life flourish in your dominion, get your counsel, get your ideas, get your truth from God's Word. And hey, start today, because, I mean, after all, you have a jurisdiction and you want to make life flourish in that jurisdiction. Hey, till next time.